Amen. We are thankful unto our great God who is real. And you know, if you were listening to what you were singing, you made that personal. You said, my God is real. My God is real. David said, the Lord is my shepherd. So you need to have a personal relationship with God. And when you have a personal relationship with God, those songs mean a whole lot more. Because you can think about those times when God has made himself abundantly available in your life. And sometimes it brings tears to your eyes. Sometimes you just have to just be quiet for a moment and let it marinate in your heart, because God's word through that song is speaking to you. So I appreciate your song leaders. I appreciate the way that you have followed, because singing is special. Singing is edifying. And we hope and pray that this week God has been glorified. And we hope and pray that this week you, the church, and me, I know I have, that we have been edified. And we pray that the devil has been horrified because of what we've done here. Amen. Thank God for the Lord's people who love the Lord. We've come to the final night of this meeting, and certainly I want to again express my sincere appreciation to your fine preacher and my friend, Brother Gil, S.T.W. Gibbs III. Amen. Brother Gibbs is just a wonderful man. I hope, trust, and pray that you love him and treat him well. And of course, when I say him, I'm talking about his wife as well. Amen. And his family. But you know, sometimes you don't know what you have. You just don't know. Brother Gibbs is one of the best preachers in this brotherhood. And I love to hear that brother preach. I get excited. He just scares me off the front pew because he comes down. I don't know if he's still hitting you, but he used to come in here. But he get excited about the Lord, and I love that. And I love to hear him preach. And one of the reasons I love to hear him preach is because he's sincere about it. And he lives the life. And there are a lot of preachers, I won't say a lot, there are some preachers who can preach good, but they are not good. And so when you have a good preacher who preaches well, then you have a blessing. And I appreciate your elders. Wonderful men of God, and your other ministers that I have had fellowship with, just wonderful. You know, I'm somewhat saddened. At the same time, I'm looking forward to going home. But, you know, I enjoy the family of God wherever I go. And I love you, and I know that you have shown your love for me. And I certainly appreciate all of the accolades and encouragement that you've given me. And I just solicit your prayers that God will continue to use us for his name, glory, and honor, however he chooses to do that. You all are a great congregation, a great beacon light to this brotherhood. And I trust that you will continue to be that in the years to come. And as I've always said, I'll say it again, if I don't see you on this side of heaven again, I'll see you in heaven. Amen. Because that's where I'm going. Now, sometimes people say that's pretty presumptive. No, it's not. You know, there ain't but two places to go. I don't know about you, but I plan on being in heaven. How many of y'all plan to go to the other place? I plan on going to heaven. I know I caught y'all then. I said, I mean, y'all ready to go to heaven? Plan on going to heaven? They thought I was going to say heaven, you know. So that means all of y'all are planning to go to heaven. So I'll see you in heaven. Amen? All right. Matthew chapter 11. Another good preacher, my good friend, Brother Bailey. Good to see him, too. Yeah. Let me just say, as always, you know, I think every preacher knows one of the hardest things to do is to decide what to close with. You know, you have so many sermons, it's hard to just pick one. And I chose this one because I believe it's the best way to end this meeting. And I pray that God will get the glory. Matthew 11, verses 28 through 30. Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Isn't that beautiful? Amen. I want to talk tonight on the subject, the greatest invitation ever extended. The greatest invitation ever extended. Believe it or not, I received from the White House an official program, an invitation to attend the 57th presidential inaugural ceremonies in Washington, D.C. when President Obama was reelected. I usually have it with me and read it so that y'all will know that I'm not just making that up. But I want you to understand it was honorary. It was just an honorary invitation. And it was not going to get me in anywhere. But I still consider it a great honor to have received that invitation because for whatever reason, I don't know how and I don't know why, but for whatever reason, my name made the list to receive an honorary invitation. I don't want to tell you what happened when I got it at the church building. In the mail, I saw it in this big envelope, and I just thought, like always, it's junk mail. And my usual way of dealing with junk mail is to just rip it in half and throw it in the garbage can. I don't even bother to open it. But for some reason, I chose to open that. I said, well, let me just see what's in here. And lo and behold, it was an official invitation. Though it was honorary, it was an invitation. And I said, look at what I almost threw away. I had an invitation in my hand, though it was honorary. I still consider that a great honor. I said, I almost threw it away. And I thought about how relevant that is to people now as it relates to God. But God extends an invitation to us. And God is extending an invitation to you tonight. But someone is going to treat it as junk mail. Someone is going to rip it up and throw it in the garbage can and walk out without accepting heaven's invitation. Now, one of the things I know is that I may never, ever receive an invitation to the White House. You may never receive an invitation to the White House. You may never receive an invitation to the governor's house. And you may never receive an invitation to some of these members' houses in this congregation that may be people of position and honor. But I'm really not concerned about any of these invitations from any of these dignitaries in the world, because I have received the greatest invitation from the greatest being in all of the universe. I have received an invitation from God Almighty from heaven. And every one of us have received that same invitation. And I want you to know that it's not just an honorary invitation that won't get you in anywhere. But if you answer this invitation will get you into not the White House, but heaven, to live with God forever and ever and ever. Lord, have mercy. What an awesome invitation. And tonight, I just want to look at this passage. I just want to take it apart. And I want you to think about what God is saying in Christ Jesus. Matthew 11 and verse number 28. Put it up on the screen. Now, you may preach this different than I would, and that's fine. You know, preaching is the communication of God's truth through the medium of human personality. And so everyone has a different way of approaching it. But this is my way of approaching it. I want you to notice what the Bible says. Jesus is speaking. And Jesus said, come. I want to stop right there. Jesus says, come. Whatever your name is, tonight, Jesus is saying, come. He's saying, Sam, come. Tamika, come. Tom, come. LaMarcus, come. Whoever you are, whatever your name is, Jesus is saying, come. No matter your educational background, you may have a PhD or you may have no degree. You may say they is or they are. Jesus says, your education does not matter. Jesus says, come. No matter your ethnicity, no matter your race, black, white, yellow, brown, red, Jesus says, come. No matter what you are caught up in, Jesus says, come. And there may be someone here tonight, and you may be saying, Brother Williams, but I don't fit in. You may feel like you don't belong. And sometimes there are people outside of the body of Christ, outside of the church of Christ, who come into our midst, and they feel like they don't belong. I want to tell you a personal story. When I first obeyed the gospel, I was 17 years old. I didn't grow up in the church. When I obeyed the gospel, I felt like a misfit. I felt like I didn't belong. Because here I was, discovering the truth, finally understanding that this is the way that God wants us to live and how we ought to be saved. And when I got in the church, I looked at all of those people. At all of those people, to me, Brother Gibbs, they all looked like they were wealthy and that they were righteous. Now, I found out different later, but now. But in my mind, that's the way I felt. And I didn't want to engage anyone in conversation because I didn't know church jargon. I didn't know the language of the church. Because when I came out of the world, I wasn't speaking the language of the church at first. Amen. Y'all know what I'm talking about. But I didn't know the language of the church. I didn't know the Bible. Had never read the Bible. Didn't even know that the Bible had an Old Testament and a New Testament. The only Bible I was ever exposed to was my grandmother setting me down and reading it to me. And so when I came into the church, the last thing I wanted to do was to be seen or to be bothered by anyone. So I tried to live in obscurity. And to someone, one Sunday night, as I was standing outside under the canopy, waiting for my mother to come out of church, hoping that no one bothers me, a young man started walking toward me, and I'm saying to myself, what in the world does he want? Why is he coming over here? That's what I'm saying. And he came over and he asked me, what is your name? And I told him my name. And so he engaged me in conversation, and he said, what do you do on Wednesday nights? And I said, well, I don't do anything. And he said, well, since you're not doing anything on Wednesday night, why don't you come to Bible class? Now, I was trapped. I was trapped because I had already told him I wasn't doing anything. But here is what I want you to understand. When I became a Christian, I took my Christianity seriously. And so when he asked me what I was doing, I couldn't lie. But I didn't know he was setting me up. I still couldn't lie. And so all that week, Brother Bailey, all that week, from Sunday night to Wednesday night, I was in distress. I was uneasy because all I could think about is that I'm going to go in this Bible class. I don't know what to say. I don't know how to read the Bible. I don't know how to pray. And they might call on me to read. They might call on me to pray. I'm just messed up. And so I was stressed out. And I got in there. And I went to the back of the room, and I sat down, and I was quiet. And the elder taught the class. And the elder never called on me, never asked me to pray, never asked me to read. And I enjoyed the class. I left out of there with those songs ringing in my head. And I said, you know what? I'm coming back next Wednesday. And that was the beginning of my journey to know God's word. But when I first came into the church, I felt like a misfit. And there may be some of you tonight to whom I am speaking. You may feel like I don't fit into a church culture. But I want you to understand, you may not fit now, but you will fit if you come to Christ, because Christ will make you fit. Because I got news for you, all of us were unfit. Are you listening to me? And all of us have been made to fit by Christ. Jesus said, come. No matter what your sin or sins are, Jesus says, come. No matter what you think about yourself, come. No matter what other folk may think about you, Jesus said, come. See, there are a lot of people who won't come because they're afraid of what somebody else is going to say. And I had to wrestle with that. Because I know you can't see it, and you perhaps don't even believe it, but I'm really an introverted person. I never liked to be seen, didn't like to be heard. I'm just fine if you don't bother me. That's the way I was. And God makes a difference in your life, but here's what I'm saying. I'm just trying to tell you that one of the things I struggled with once I had come to the conclusion that I needed to obey the gospel. Then the devil started working on my heart. You cannot come down that aisle because all of those people are going to talk about you. I didn't have on the right clothes. So I just felt like in my mind that folk are going to talk about me. And so I did not come. It wasn't until that third time that I made up my mind that I got to do something about my condition. And I told my mom, I think I told you this. I said, now the next Sunday, I want us to get there early so I can sit up close to the front. And I got there and I sat on the fourth pew. Because the first three were reserved. So I didn't want to have to walk out and walk down the aisle. I just wanted to step around. Are y'all listening to me? And so what I'm trying to tell you is that I don't care what other people may think about you. Jesus says, come. This is an invitation, but it's not just an invitation. It is God's personal invitation to you. Now I want you to understand something. There are some things that are necessarily implied in the invitation to come. You see, by the very fact that Jesus says, come, that implies that you have the freedom of choice. Are y'all listening? Now, don't go to sleep on me, all right? So when you hear Jesus saying, come, he is telling us that you have free will. And no one can exercise that right to come but you. Don't look at your husband, don't look at your wife. Don't look at your family members. Jesus is speaking directly to you. And I want you to take this invitation. And I want you to listen to it in isolation. Because it is a personal invitation to every individual. And so whatever your name is, Jesus is saying, Alexander, come. It is like the Lord is locked in on you. He's locked in on you. And the invitation is personally given to you. So involved in the idea of come is the reality that you have a choice. But there's also something else implicit in that invitation. And it is the reality that God takes a risk of being rejected by his creature. Now, I don't know if you see this or not. I need you to see it. That the creator of the universe, the God of heaven, the great I am that I am, humbles himself and extends his hand and says, come. And he understands that when I extend my hand and give an invitation, that you have a right not to accept that invitation, that you could spurn that invitation, that you could turn and walk out and leave him there. He knows that you can reject him. He takes that risk. Have you ever loved anyone who didn't love you back? Go on and admit it. Amen. Few people say, oh, and the rest of y'all, I don't know what you're talking about. Eh? I think we all had crushes when we were growing up. That's just nature. That's just nature. You know, you up there liking somebody. You up there, you didn't know love. You thought you were in love, but it was just, you know, puppy love. You got to be careful about puppy love. They say puppy love leads to a dog fight. But listen to what I'm saying. Here's what I'm saying. We've all had these little crushes on folk. But it crushes you when the person that you love, when the person that you have a heart for, does not return your feelings toward you. How many of you have ever extended your hand to someone and they just walked by? I mean, how many of you have ever extended your hand to someone to shake their hand, and it's not that they didn't want to shake it, but they just didn't see it? Isn't that an awkward thing? Excuse me. Isn't that, you know, you stick your hand out and then you just got it there and they're going on about their business and your hand is just still sticking out. It's embarrassing and it's awkward. You know, Brother Gibbs, I figured out how to handle that thing. If I stick my hand out and if I'm trying to get your hand and you walk on by and you don't see it because you got your mind somewhere else, I just say, you know, I just, like, I'm bringing my hand up. You know? But what I'm trying to tell you is that God has taken a chance and extended his hand to us. And here's what I want you to understand. You can reject it, but there are consequences for rejecting heaven's invitation. See, right now, the choice is yours. Right now, the choice is yours. But one of these days, the choice will not be yours. And here's what I want you to understand. You get to choose now whether or not you want to come to Christ, but you don't get to choose the consequences if you reject him. That has already been established, that if you reject the invitation, the consequences are eternal damnation. Reminds me of a story that I heard of this young man. You said, Brother Williams, you're just on the first word. You're going to do that to every word? Don't worry about it. I'm going to be all right. You'll be all right. Stay with me now. All right. He said, now watch this. This young man was always getting into trouble with the law. But he was slick. And somehow or another, he always managed to get out of trouble. But there was an attorney that was a close friend to the family. And that attorney would always say, let me represent you. And the boy would always say, I don't need you because I got this thing. I got the system figured out. And somehow or another, he would always maneuver his way through the system and he would get off. And that attorney would just say, let me represent you. He said, no, I don't need you. And he was right. But then finally, one day, he did something that he could not maneuver his way out of. And he said, you know what? I need to find that attorney because I can't afford a good attorney, and they're going to give me a court-appointed attorney, and I don't trust him. I need somebody that I know has my best interest at heart. so he started searching around for that attorney, and he couldn't find him. And when his day to appear in court came, he walked into the courtroom, and he looked up, and he saw the attorney, and he got happy because it was the attorney. But now he's the judge. And so he said, oh, I thank God that I found you. I want you to represent me. He said, son, understand that I used to be an attorney, but now I'm your judge. And I'm just trying to tell you that Jesus is saying, now come. Keep rejecting him, and the day will come that you'll stand before him and he will judge you. Listen, Jesus says, come. Look, put it back on the screen. Come to who? Amen. That's my next point. Are y'all with me? All right. Come to me. Me. Leave it on the screen. You need to understand that this is not some Johnny come lately. This is not some Joe Blow. This is not some fly by night jack leg preacher that's extending this invitation. This is Jesus. This is the Son of God. This is God come in the flesh. This is the before Abraham was, I am. This is the way, the truth, and the life. This is the Savior of the world. This is the bread of life, the light of the world, the door of the sheepfold, the living water of life, the good shepherd, the Lamb of God, the living and eternal word. This is God. Jesus is the one who is inviting you tonight to come to him. Now, I need y'all to all hold on and listen to what I'm saying, because I don't want you to misunderstand what I'm saying. I want you to notice that you're coming to, say it with me, you're coming to Jesus. Jesus had come unto me. Now, you are not coming to us, because see, us's can get in the way. Amen. I know that's bad grammar, but you know what I'm saying. See, if you come to us, you're going to have a problem. Because you're going to look around and you're going to see, oh, I saw her at the club. Is that the one that cussed me out last week? So if you're looking at us, you may never come. But Jesus said, come unto me. So you are coming unto him. It is him. It is Jesus who offers salvation and not us. Now, listen to what I'm saying. Let me finish the sentence. Jesus does not invite us to come to the church. He invites us to come to him. I know he hadn't built the church at this point, but I want you to hear me well. He didn't say come unto the church, he said come unto me. You see, it is Jesus who saves, and the church is the saved. The church is not the Savior. Jesus is the Savior, and he is the Savior of the body. So we got to put Jesus out front. Stay with me. You cannot have Jesus without having his church. but we get into the church through Jesus. Are you listening to me? See, some people said, give me Jesus, but I don't want his church. There's no such thing. You can't have the head without the body. Amen. It's a package deal. And so when you obey Christ and you come to him, he automatically adds you to not a church, but the church, his church. Why would you come to him and he put you somewhere else? But now watch this. I mean, it's going to help us now. We come unto him. And when you come unto him, watch this. When that happens, you can deal with anything and anyone that you might encounter in the church. Amen? See, when you come unto Jesus, see, Brother Gibbs, I'm not leaving the church. See, and the reason that I'm not leaving the church is because I came to Jesus. See, I'm converted to Jesus. I'm converted to Jesus. And so if y'all decide to turn 10 flips in the church, I'm still staying because I'm committed and convicted and converted to Jesus. See, when the net is cast out, you catch some of everything. And you got some of everything in the church. Say amen if you can. We got some Judases in here who will smile in your face and stab you in the back. They're in the church. You got some Peters in the church who will cuss and fight. Amen. And deny you. We got some Thomases in the faith who will show no faith and doubt the power of God. Always, oh, we can't do that. You got some James and Johns in the church who always want to be in the spotlight. Give me the right and the left. You got some Phillips in the church who have difficulty in operating on faith. They're always seeing the negative instead of the positive. You got some of that in the church. And if you are converted to the church but not to Jesus, when you start seeing all of that stuff and all of these people rising up and messing with you, you out of here. But if you committed to Jesus, you're going to shake them off. You're going to come right up in here on Sunday morning and sit right down next to them and sing your heart out and praise God. Am I right about it? Now, let me tell you something else. Let me tell you something. You also have some good folk in here. Amen. It's a whole lot of good converted folk in the church. It never ceases to amaze me, Brother Gibbs, how you can have 400 or 500 folk speak to someone and treat them right, and they run into one knucklehead. Y'all ain't right over there at the church. Ain't nothing but a bunch of hypocrites. What about all of the rest of them that didn't treat you bad? Right. I know that's right. So stop looking at the negative folk and keep your eyes on Jesus. Jesus said, come unto me. Lord have mercy. Jesus will never disappoint you. Now, my next point. Come unto me all. I'm going to be through by 8:30, I promise you that. If not before then, but I will be through. Come unto me all. God is no respecter of persons. He loves the whole world. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. You may be saying, well, Brother Williams, surely God doesn't mean me. Even though he said all, I got a drug problem. And he can't mean me. Come unto me. Come on, church, help me. Come unto me. Got a drug problem? Come. I got a problem with the bottle. I drink. Come unto me. I got a problem with sex addiction. Come unto me. I got a gambling problem. Come unto me. I got a problem being honest. I just lie. Come unto me. I struggle with my sexuality. I'm confused in my head. Come unto me. I got a problem with hate. Come unto me. I got a problem with being the man or woman that I ought to be. Come unto me. I've been in prison. Come unto me. I've done some bad things. Come unto me. Come on, church. Jesus said, all. It matters not what you've done. It matters not how bad you are. Jesus said, come unto me, all. Why? Because I came to save bad folk. Luke 5, 31 and 32, Jesus said, those who are well have no need of a physician. But those who are sick, I have not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. The only folk Jesus will save are sinners. Did I need to say that again? The only folk Jesus will save are sinners. And if you don't know that you are a sinner and you won't admit it, then you cannot be saved. Ain't none of us in here better than anybody else. See, our problem is we like to categorize sin. Well, I haven't done that, but you've done something. And we all stand in the same position, and that is we stand under the grace of God before the foot of the cross, thanking Jesus for what he did for us there at Calvary. Because had he not died for us, we couldn't be saved. Come unto me, all. No, I'm not going to stop at you. I think I got you now already. All you who labor, who labor. Now, this is interesting. In the Greek, this is a present participle. What does that mean? It means continuous action. And the word labor means weary. It means that you are tired from toiling. What is it tonight that has you tired and weary? What is it tonight that just has you drained? What is it tonight that has you worn out? What is it tonight that has you stressed out? What is it tonight that you go to bed wrestling with night after night after night, and you wake up in the morning with that same stuff on your mind and you just cannot let go of it? What is it that has just worn you out and worn you down psychologically and has taken a physical toll on you? What is it that has you to the point that you just feel like, I'm going to snap. I'm about to break. I'm about to give up. I'm about to give out. What is it that has you exhausted? Jesus said, my child, bring it to me and give it to me, because even though you cannot handle it, I can. He says, come unto me, all you that labor and are what? Lord, have mercy. The word or expression heavy laden means to be placed under a heavy load. Now watch this. It means to have a load placed on your back. Listen. It can describe what others have done to you to burden you down. And stuff that you are carrying around, not necessarily from what you have done, but from what others have done to you that you have allowed to be a burden in your life. And here's the interesting thing. In the Greek, the word is a perfect past participle. Doesn't mean much to you, but what that means is that it describes something that happened in the past, but it still has implications and is still impacting your life in a negative way in the present tense. It happened in the past, but it's still burdening you down in the present. And I know that I'm talking to someone tonight who's weighed down with a load of guilt, a load of shame, a load of worry, a load of grief, a load of regret, a load of anger, a load of hate. But I want you to hear me well. You cannot undo your past. But you don't have to let your past undo you. And some of us in here tonight are just loaded down with stuff from our past life. Stuff that you had no control over, but it's still dogging your life. Abuse as a child, physical, emotional. Parents said ugly things to you. Ugly, you're stupid, you're dumb, you're ignorant, you'll never amount to anything, and you're still carrying that stuff. Molested as a child, raped. And that's not just girls, it happens to men, to boys as well. And all of that stuff is on you, and you're carrying that burden, you're carrying that load, and it burdens you down and makes you dysfunctional in life. Jesus said, bring me that stuff. Stop letting it destroy your life. Stop letting it steal your peace and your happiness. And then Jesus says, and I will give you rest. Hallelujah. What a beautiful picture. I will give you rest. The expression means more than just rest. Like I'm resting. Listen, I can sit down and rest my body and still not rest because I'm burdened here. I can go to bed and still not rest. Toss and turn all night long because of something that's troubling my heart. And so Jesus is not just talking about resting the body, but he's talking about refreshing the spirit, rejuvenating the inner person. In other words, Jesus is saying that I will give you a new leash on life. I will give you a fresh start. I'll give you recovery so that you can collect your strength again. Jesus said, I will take your load off of you so that you can breathe. Thank you, Jesus. He says, come unto me, all you that labor that are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Next verse. Take my yoke upon you. Jesus says, get in my yoke with me, and I'll make life easier. You remember that commercial, things go better with Coke? Things go better with Jesus. What Jesus is saying is simply this: take my yoke upon you, and you will have bumps. You will have bruises. But the difference is that I will be in the situation with you. Help me. Now, you know what a yoke is? You know, there are different kinds of yokes, but the yoke that Jesus is talking about is like you're plowing two together, two animals together. Come help me. Help me, Brother Alexander. I know I'm, you all right with me?
Yeah.
Okay, you don't mind? You don't mind putting your arm around me? Okay, all right. All right. Now, here's what I want you to see. Jesus says, come, get in the yoke with me. He's on one side. I'm on the other side. Now, as I walk through life, I'm not by myself. And as I walk through life, there are going to be times that I'm going to hit a rough spot and stumble. But guess what? If I'm in the yoke with Jesus, he got me.
Come on now.
So I may stumble, but I ain't going to fall.
That's right.
Because Jesus got me. And if I ever get to a moment that I just don't have the strength, don't worry about it. Because Jesus got the strength. And if he needs to, he can pick me up. I'm not going to pick you up, brother.
It's okay.
All right. But if he needs to, he can pick me up and carry me when I'm too weak. But if I'm not in the yoke with him, I don't stand a chance.
Amen.
Jesus said, get in the yoke with me. Get in the yoke with me. Oh, I love this thing. He says, and as you get in the yoke with me, learn from me. You notice that everything is about me. The me in the text is Jesus. Everything is about I. The I in the text is Jesus. Come unto me, all you that labor and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest unto your soul. It's about Jesus. Now, here's what I want you to see. He says, get in the yoke with me and learn from me. Learn how to deal with life. Learn. You see, the more I know about Jesus, the more I can, or the easier it is for me to deal with life. And let me tell you something else I've learned over the years. The more I learn about Jesus, the more I love him.
Amen. Amen.
Now let me show you what's going to happen. When you learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart. One of the things you're going to learn in this yoke, Brother Alexander, one of the things you're going to learn in this yoke as you walk with the Lord is he's going to talk to you. And you're going to learn that, you know what? Jesus is not a hard taskmaster.
Amen.
You're going to learn that he's really gentle. And when I'm struggling, he doesn't beat me up. But he talks to me.
Yes.
And the other thing about it, Brother Gibbs, is that he knows everything about me. And even though he knows all of the bad stuff, he still likes me. And he still holds me tight. And you say, but Jesus, I'm not that good. I know it. That's why I died. But Jesus, I got a problem. I already know that. It's okay. I'm here for you. And he doesn't never make you feel like you're nothing. Because he's lowly in heart. He's a kind and gentle, loving Savior. Are y'all listening to me? I'm trying to give you a better picture of Jesus. Quit looking at him as if, oh, this is so hard. This is so tough. Jesus is saying, you making it tough. If you just get in the yoke with me, I'll help you out. Go ahead. I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find, he says, what? Rest for your soul. Watch this. What are the things you learn? Watch this now. Is that rest is both given and discovered. Did you say, come unto me, I will give you rest? Now he says, and you shall find rest. Now let me help you to understand this. We get rest from our past sins and burdens by coming to Jesus. But then we get in the yoke with him, and through the process of learning more and more about Jesus, the more of my burdens I transfer to him. Because the more I learn about him, the more I know I can depend upon him. And the more of that stuff that I've been carrying around in my heart, I just say, here, Jesus, you got it, because I can't handle it. And in his yoke, we learn how to trust him. And the more we trust, the more rest we discover. Finally, you can exhale. I close now. And he says, you shall find rest unto your souls for what? For my yoke is what? And my burden is what? Jesus is simply saying that when you come to me, you will see that I will never demand too much of you. You will see that in comparison to the burdens that you were bearing, that my commandments are light and they are pleasant and they are a joy and not a burden. Let me tell you something. This is how I'm going to close this. I don't want to put anybody on the spot, so I was going to ask a question and ask for the show of hands, but I won't do that because I don't want to know. I didn't come down here to cause problems. I was going to ask how many of you love your wife, how many of you love your husband. I ain't asking that. I'm just leaving that alone. Leave that alone. You know, when I'm in marriage counseling, I ask those folk, I know it's hard sometimes. I ask them, do you still love this person? A whole lot of them hesitate. And then they say, well, And I try to fix it for them, Brother Gibbs. I try to help them out. But, you know, I said, well, I'm not talking about like it is now. But like you want it to be. Do you love the person? Well, yeah, if it's like that. But here's what I want you to hear, though, seriously, on a serious note. He says, my yoke is easy, my burden is light. When you learn of Jesus and you truly get to know him, your love for him deepens.
Amen.
And when your love for him deepens, doing his will is never a burden.
Amen. Amen.
It is always a joy.
Amen.
See, when you love your wife, going home is not a chore.
Amen.
When you love your husband, you ain't mad when he drives into the driveway.
Wow.
Oh, hey, Lord. I was hoping he'd get caught in a traffic jam. It ain't like that. When you love your spouse, you cannot help but want to do for them.
Amen.
See, I want to do for you. I want to do for my wife. It's not a chore for me to give gifts to my wife.
Amen.
It's not a chore for me to text her love text. It's not a chore for me to leave love notes around the house for her to find. I get joy from doing it. And so I'm trying to tell you, when you finally love the Lord, it will never be a chore to come to worship. It'll never be a chore for you to give to the Lord. It will be a joy and a delight. And whatever the Lord asks you to do, I'm happy to do it, Lord. Do you have anything else for me to do?
Amen.
Because you've been so good to me.
Yes, Lord.
Come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden. I will give you rest. Is anyone tired tonight?
Yes, Lord.
Tired of sin? Tired of living like you're living? Jesus says, come. His hands are outstretched. Don't tear the invitation up and throw it in the garbage. Don't leave the Lord hanging. Come. If you believe that Jesus Christ died on the cross for your sins, that he was buried and that he rose again, tonight, if you will say, Lord, I'm tired of living like I've been living. I'm ready to give my life to you. Bible calls that repentance, Luke 13, 3 and 5, Acts 17, 30 and 31. Stand up here tonight and confess that you believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God, like the eunuch did in the 8th chapter of the book of Acts, verses 36 through 38. He said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And then give your body to be buried in the watery grave of baptism for the remission of your sins. The Lord in heaven will wash away your sins with the blood of Jesus. He'll give you his Holy Spirit, add you to his family, the church of Christ, and you'll be in the yoke with the Lord. And as you walk through life, you'll learn to love him, you'll learn to trust him, and your life will be better.
Amen.
If you want a better life, Jesus says, come. I'm through.
I am without one plea, but that thy blood washes for me, and that thou bidst me come to thee, O Lamb of God, I come, I come.
Is there anyone who wants to come tonight?
I am.
The Lord's invitation is extended.
Not to
Jesus says, behold,
my soul,
I stand at the door and I knock.
Dark
if any man will
thee,
hear,
whose blood
I'd open, I will come in and sup with him, and he with me.
Of God,
is there anyone tonight who wants to come to Jesus? Jesus came all the way from heaven's glory to die on the cross for your sins. The question is, will you answer heaven's call? Jesus hanged on a cross 9 a.m. to late in the afternoon.
And
he did it for you. He hung there not because the nails kept him there, but because love kept him there. His love for you. Will you show your love for him by stepping out tonight and saying yes to the one who said yes to the cross? Just as you are, Jesus says, come.
Just healing of the